Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The voucher school system statewide is what we talk about this hour of the program. The Joint Finance Committee has passed this along to the Wisconsin legislature, and it may be voted on as early as tomorrow. Under the proposal, a statewide voucher system would allow 500 children from lower and middle class families to attend private or religious schools paid for by state funding in its first year. In its second year, the program would be capped at 1,000 students. There are concerns raised by some Democratic lawmakers that the governor could use his partial veto power to eliminate the cap for this program, but the governor has told reporters that he would stay true to the current proposal. This has been a contentious issue for a long time. It's been, as you know, the voucher program has been in existence in Milwaukee for a number of years. We'll talk about why an expansion may be good for public schools or why it may damage public schools. We have two guests with us who have very different perspectives on this, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls. Let me give you our number because I do plan to go to calls fairly early this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. And we already have some messages on our Facebook page. Feel free to add to those, and that is the Kathleen Dunn Show. Jim Bender is president of School Choice Wisconsin, a nonprofit organization seeking to, they say in their information about the organization, an honest debate about school choice by providing accurate information on the impact of school choice on families, communities, and schools. It is headquartered in Milwaukee. And Jim Bender, thank you very much for being with us this hour. Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Also joining us is Pat Greco. Pat is superintendent of schools for Menominee Falls, one of many school superintendents in the area against the expansion. And we'll be talking with Pat about why that is the case. Hello, Pat. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. And our phone lines are almost filled, so we'll go to them very early. I know there's a lot of concern and support both for this. Let's start with you, Jim. Why do you think we need voucher schools? What is the purpose of voucher schools in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, let me start from a definitional sense. There is no such thing as a voucher school. There are private schools that participate in the Milwaukee and now Racine parental choice programs, which is a very important definition, a very important distinction of what there needs to be in the conversation around vouchers. So there is no such thing as a voucher school, because that wouldn't imply a contract between the school and the government. And right now there are no contracts. Private schools have to meet certain requirements to be eligible to provide services to parents that are eligible for a voucher. But the benefit goes to parents. The question isn't why do we need these schools. The question is, why do parents need options outside of the current system? And our answer to that is, one, in a general sense, we think more options are better. It empowers the parents. It gets back to the educational rights that parents enjoy in this country. And for many parents in both Milwaukee and Racine, the educational landscape that they have in front of them is one where they can find the best educational setting for their child. And that's, I know we'll get to a lot of questions, so I'll just leave it short and simple to get started on that note.
Mm-hmm. Pat, you are concerned, and there were a number of superintendents who were at a meeting last week about this, about expansion of, you know, it's kind of a semantic difference here, the parental choice program or the voucher program. What are your concerns?
Wisconsin performs across the United States as one of the highest performing states with ACT and advanced placement. Clearly, there are some communities that struggle, you know, with student performance because of the need level of their children. The statewide expansion is going to go across the highest performing school districts in the state. As Dale Schultz indicated, who is a Republican, he was quoted saying, we can't currently fund the current educational system to keep pace with inflation. To expand vouchers, which are not proven and are not demonstrating stronger success in the areas they're currently at across the highest performing school districts in the state, wouldn't be strong policy.
How effective do you think? We've had the program certainly in Milwaukee for a number of years, Jim. There have been criticisms that it's not performing as well as it should be.
Certainly. There will always be opponents of the program because there are people that are just fundamentally opposed to having anything that falls outside the status quo. So it depends on how you want to measure the program. I mean, I find it interesting that at the first time in the history of the state of Wisconsin, standardized test scores are now the gold standard for determining everything in education. The school choice demonstration project clearly showed that students that were in the program and even just had exposure to the program had higher graduation rates, higher college acceptance rates, and higher college retention rates than a matched set of students in the Milwaukee public schools. What I find interesting, though, and Milwaukee is a separate conversation from the rest of the state in this one factor. Mobility is so high in Milwaukee between the choice program and public schools, within public schools, within choice schools. And I think the one finding that came out of the school choice demonstration project that gets overlooked but should be almost the focal point is that the students that started and stayed in MPS and the students that started and stayed in the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program had significantly higher rates than students that were bouncing back and forth between the two programs. And so, I mean, Milwaukee's a little bit different from its mobility, but I think that the consistency of educational sectors in Milwaukee is one that is actually showing the highest results is when students are fairly static in their educational settings.
Pat, there were a number of superintendents. The state superintendent of public instruction met in Glendale, I believe, just last week, and there were a number of suburban superintendents who were very concerned about this. Tell me, how widespread is the concern?
Very widespread. 80% of the school districts across the state of Wisconsin receive less state aid than what's being proposed for the voucher schools as a guarantee. And those are the highest performing school districts. And Jim is right. You know, the schools within Milwaukee and Racine struggle with the consistency of attendance in the public schools and in the schools receiving vouchers. You're actually looking at a school system across the state of Wisconsin that is known as a national best, and we're underfunding based on the cost of inflation. Our legislators are not reinvesting in the schools to keep them competitive, but we're actually talking about policy that will affect every taxpayer in the state at a higher level of taxes. And we're working on a model around choice that isn't proven. Public school funding has been reduced by 10% across the state of Wisconsin. The proposed increase for vouchers is an increase of 9%. Just like the debate on health care, you can have good intent. Can we afford it? What's our constitutional obligation to serve every child in the state of Wisconsin? And how do we design a model that addresses the funding flaws that have been known within the current state funding system for decades?
Jim, your response.
Well, there's a number of things. I mean, I know that ACT scores are a marker by which those in education in Wisconsin like to highlight. The problem is not every kid takes the ACT in Wisconsin. And so, since you have school districts, I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about Green Bay, so those are the most familiar numbers to me. You know, less than half the kids in Green Bay take the ACT. I mean, they started like 15 years ago, they were at 45%, and they might be just over 50% now. But I mean, for low-income kids in Green Bay, you know, if you're Hispanic and African-American, like between, you know, 5% and 16% of the students actually take the ACT. So to say that we ranked really high in the ACT is technically true. I mean, the numbers are there. But not every kid takes the ACT. So it's not a marker by which you can say, here's what all the students are doing. Here's what the students that are taking the test are doing. But it's not all the students. And, you know, again, our point here is not that the public schools are failing and that school choice should be a punishment upon a district. We go back a full step further to parental rights and what do the parents of the state of Wisconsin have with regards to the rights of the education of their children. So, again, we could talk a lot about funding. I'm sure we'll get into the funding flaw and all the other things that are going on. But at the end of the day, you have a situation where all parents, all citizens are paying into the system. You've got a legal requirement for parents to educate their children, K through 12. And you've got a multitude of areas which meet the legal requirement of that mandatory education. But only in the United States, for the most part, are you required to go to one specific type of legal requirement to meet that legal requirement of education where you get access to those funds. In most every, you can drive to Toronto. If you want to go to a Catholic school, a Lutheran school, an independent school, a government school, the government pays for it. No matter where you go to school, you go to Sweden, the same thing. Any place that you can meet that legal requirement of mandatory education, the government pays for it. Only here do we have a system that you have to choose one silo in order to meet that education requirement. And we just think if it's a legally required program you have to be a part of, and going to a private school or going to a virtual school or homeschooling, all of those things meet the legal requirement, then the money should follow the child.
Pat, your response, and then we go to phone calls.
The concern I would have is I agree with Jim that every school has, every parent has the right to a strong education. The voucher system will not be available to every child in the state of Wisconsin. Every child will not be determined whether or not it's a quality education, because the voucher schools will not be held accountable to the same accountability metrics. So as Jim is saying, not every child takes the ACT. They aren't going to be able to assess the performance on any of the measures that the public schools are accountable to. So the accountability, the access, and again, I'll bring it back to the debate. Families in the state of Wisconsin are not eligible to receive free and reduced lunch if they make more than $30,000 a year. So families have a right to make sure that their children are fed, have health care. This proposal is not about poor children. It's about the politics around the voucher system. They're recommending a family of four at $77,000 a year be provided a voucher that isn't eligible for free and reduced lunch or the current health care proposals. So this isn't about poor children. It isn't about quality. It's about vouchers at the expense of the needs of every child in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's go to phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. As the legislature is poised to debate this issue and perhaps vote on it as early as tomorrow, the expansion of a voucher school system statewide is what we are discussing. Pat Greco, superintendent of schools for Menominee Falls, who is opposed to this, is with us. Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, a group advocating for parental choice, is with us. And let's go to Pat in Lake Delton. Hi, Pat. Pat, hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm a senior citizen, and I am wondering why it is that I don't get to vote on this. If this is an expansion of the number of students that taxpayers are going to pay for their schooling, that's going to increase the number of students in the state. And my question is, this is a big issue, because I've heard the governor say that they'll revisit the caps. And my question is, why can't we vote on it? Why is it that that a handful of people are doing this, and we don't even get to weigh in? Why can't we vote?
Jim.
Oh, well, that's very simple. That's called a representative republic. The legislature in the last two budgets increased funding for low-income health care by $1 billion last budget and by more than $700 million this budget. Only legislators to vote on that. In the session before that, Democrats raised taxes across the board by more than $1 billion. Nobody got to vote on that. That was done in the legislature, because the legislature is the one that appropriates state dollars. School districts don't appropriate dollars. General citizens don't appropriate dollars. That's why you have elected officials. The state legislature appropriates public funding in the state of Wisconsin.
I would like to make a comment
yes,
on that, if I may. Legislator Mike Ellis, the Republican, did ask for a referendum and public debate on the vouchers. And Dale Schultz has been very vocal, saying that the state will not be able to afford a dual system. As Jim's indicating, the citizens do not get to vote. Menominee Falls taxes have actually gone up by 19%, and our state aid has gone down by 41% in our community for our taxpayers, and we're cutting $2 million worth of programming every year to the children who are educated within our community. The school districts that receive no state funding, their taxes will be funding 100% to educate their children. Private school families will be getting an income tax voucher and a voucher or an income tax credit plus a voucher to attend the private schools. This is not representing every family, and it's not representing every taxpayer across the state. 80% of the districts will receive less aid from the state than is being proposed to be guaranteed to the voucher schools. It's not appropriate.
Pat, thanks for the call. Corey in Menominee, hi.
Hi. I've got a question, more really of a comment-based question for both sides. When you start pulling children out of the schools because of performance issues and sending them to voucher, you know, accepting schools that have better performance, is it really likely that the child who couldn't learn properly in a lesser school, quote-unquote, is going to learn properly in a better school, quote-unquote? Or is it more likely that the child might have problems outside of school that's causing that issue in the first place?
Jim, you want to start?
I think a perfect example would be Notre Dame Middle School in Milwaukee. The setting that that school provides has education and teachers available at the school, depending on the day, from early in the morning, sometimes before 7 o'clock in the morning, till 6 o'clock or later every day, tutoring. They have study halls over lunch hour. They're available over the weekend. Sometimes the school is open to handle things on the weekend. They have mandatory summer school. Notre Dame Middle School is an all-girls school located, private school on the south side of Milwaukee, serves almost exclusively Hispanic community. They're all low-income, all eligible for free and reduced lunch. And they do things differently there to accommodate things that are happening in their neighborhood. And that's just what they do. They're very successful. Most of the children that come out of that school not only go on to the highest performing schools in Milwaukee, but are accepted into college. And they've just got a very rigorous community-based school setting, which is why it gets back to, I mean, even in some of the highest performing schools, you're going to have some students that aren't, their needs aren't being met. And again, this isn't so much a public school versus private school as it is the individual parent. What is the best setting for their child? And so are there outside influences that affect education? Absolutely. Nobody's denying that. But that shouldn't be an excuse. I mean, we understand that there's poverty in all areas of the state. We understand that there are learning disabilities in all areas of the state. But those aren't excuses. Schools need to adapt to those changing dynamics on the ground. And I think many of them have, both public and private and charter. But the more adept you are at doing those things, the better your school's going to be.
Let me ask about a philosophical difference, because I think there is a huge philosophical difference when it comes to this particular issue. There are many who are concerned that, and we've heard people say this, that one of the goals of people in the school choice movement is to really privatize all of education and to do away significantly, if not completely, with public education in this country. Is that a goal, Jim?
I don't know who's ever said that. I know that's attributed to people all the time. I don't know who's ever said that. For us, I mean, our understanding is this. Even if you took all the caps off, made everybody eligible. So let's correct some of the errors that were spoken before. The expansion program will be for only children that are eligible for free and reduced lunch. Milwaukee and Racine have higher income levels. The expansion is 185 or federal poverty level or below. So it's geared at low-income students. All students will take the state test like they like they have for years. All schools in the Milwaukee, all in the new choice programs, will be part of the student information system, which will then be tied into the report card. So a lot of the accountability that's going to be going on in both sectors will be happening in the choice program, and it is geared at low-income students. Even if you remove the 185, and even if you have every school in the state that's a private school with capacity get filled up, you're still talking about 85% of the students in the state will be attending public schools. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I am a product of public schools. My children are in public schools. That's what we have chosen. I could send them to private school if I wanted. I have chosen not to. The setting in my hometown has a very good public school system, and my children are very happy there. And we don't intend at any point in time to say that you should diminish what's out there in the public schools. Now, by giving parents options, will parents choose things other than the public schools? I believe that they will. I think that there are things that are out there, but not on a level that eliminates the public school system. So what you're talking about is a slight reduction in the student bodies of certain pockets of the state, I believe, and that just comes into internal budgeting for the schools. I mean, we will hear, and I've heard many times in Green Bay, they have a school district a little more than 20,000 students, and they said if we lose X amount of students, we're going to be, you know, it's going to really affect our schools. We're not going to be able to function as normal. And I say, well, okay, but the Wausau School District has 15,000 students, and Green Bay has 20. So let's assume they lose 3,000 kids, and now they've got 17,000. Is the argument that a school district with 17,000 students is not it's less, or I should say this, a school is a less of a school district with 17,000 than it is with 20,000? Is there more quality because you have 20,000 students as opposed to 17,000 students? I think Wausau School District of 15,000 says their school district is pretty good, but they've only got 15,000. So I don't think there's a quality ratio between the size of your school district and the quality of the school district. And that's really what this gets down to.
Pat, do you worry that the ultimate goal is to do away with public education?
I think the biggest concern is we have struggled for, we've been under the revenue limits for 20 years. Families and members across the state understand they have been cutting programs since the revenue limits have not kept pace with inflation. In the 90s, they were talking about two-thirds funding to schools. They were talking about the revenue limits lasting for 5 years. The caps in Milwaukee and Racine have already been lifted. The current funding system cannot keep pace with the rate of inflation, and the aid continues to plummet while local taxes go up. Those are issues that are occurring now. This isn't conjecture, and make no mistake, it is affecting the highest performing schools across the state of Wisconsin. It is already a negative impact with the funding system, and the legislators are playing with fire across the state of Wisconsin as you're talking about, again, shifting available dollars through the income tax credit away from the pool of money available to allocate for education. Yeah, you know, we're talking about trying to be internationally competitive. You're talking to the school districts that are most focused on improving every single day what they're doing with children and families for some of the neediest kids across the state. And we're playing with fire with policy that was designed in an hour at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's irresponsible.
More phone calls in a moment. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Expansion of the voucher school system statewide is what we're talking about this hour. The legislature will probably be voting on it sometime this week. We have two guests who have very different ideas about it. Pat Greco, you just heard speaking a moment ago, superintendent of schools for Menominee Falls. Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, is also with us. What do you think? One line is open. 800-486-8655. Facebook is the Kathleen Dunn Show. We'd love to read your comments, and I'm sure our guests would as well. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our number is 800-486-8655. Tomorrow, during this hour, Andrew Carroll will be with us. Andrew has joined us before because he's been on this trip, really, all over the country. The book, Here Is Where, chronicles his oftentimes very interesting and hilarious sometimes journey across America to find and explore unmarked historic sites where extraordinary moments occurred and remarkable individuals once lived. The book is Here Is Where, Discovering America's Great Forgotten History. And Andrew will be with us tomorrow during this hour. Back to phone calls as we talk about expansion of the voucher system in the state of Wisconsin. Bill in Appleton, hi.
Good morning. I was interested in Jim's comment that he thinks the money should follow the child, and I'm not sure where I stand on voucher expansion, but let me just give you a little perspective, and then I have a brief question. I have two kids in public school, one of them, or a private school, rather. One of them has a learning disability, so it would probably be about $30,000 a year to educate my two kids in a public school. And not once have I had a taxpayer say, thank you, Bill, for sending your kids to private school, because that's $30,000 a year for 12 years that that we don't have to fund. Already we were 20 minutes into the discussion, and we can't decide whether vouchers are means-tested by federal poverty level or by a family income level of $77,000. Already there's that disagreement. So I'd like some clarification on that. And then also, there seems to be I'm having a hard time understanding what is a voucher. Is it a set amount of money that would actually go to the family that would be the cost of tuition at the school that the child and parents decide to go to? Is it variable based on adults' income? So what is the means testing, and what is the voucher? Or is it only a tax credit? Because somebody mentioned tax credits as well. So paint me a picture.
All right. Thank you so much, Bill, for the call. Jim, you want to start with that?
Sure. So as the program exists today, the program is eligible for students in Milwaukee and Racine. The income levels for the programs in Milwaukee and Racine are 300% of federal poverty level, which is in the low 70,000 range for both of those cities, according to census data. The current voucher amount in Milwaukee and Racine is, by statutory language, is $6,442 per student, or the actual cost of education, whichever is less. Tuition plays no role in this, because tuition is an arbitrary number that a private school comes up with. Some of them are religious, and some have the church pay for part of the building or whatever, and so tuition isn't the actual cost. So for the Milwaukee Racine programs currently, there is an independent audit done for every school for every dollar, because they have to establish what the actual cost of education is. That's a constitutional reason. So if your actual cost was actually $5,000 per student, the school then sends back $1,442 per student. The theory being, for religious schools, you couldn't have anything except the payment going for the education of the child. No money could be held over into the church. So because there's an audit done every year on every dollar, we know what those dollars are. And if it's less than the voucher, it gets sent back. So the payment works this way. The student and the parents apply to a school. If everything matches up during a lottery system or whatever else, the state then issues, and they don't actually physically issue a check to the parents, but the parent has to go in and sign, and it's an escrow check given on behalf of the parent to the school. The parent is the one that directs the state to send the tax dollars elsewhere. Now, that's the current system. Moving forward, well, I should say this, one other thing, just for clarification's sake. Roughly 61.6% of the voucher is paid by state tax dollars, and 38.4% is paid by the local property taxpayer in Milwaukee and Racine. That's the current amount. Moving forward, the motion that came out of finance, which I believe will get passed on the floor of the Assembly this week in Senate, has a different income level. For outside of Milwaukee and Racine, it is 185% or below of family income to be eligible for the program. The voucher amount in the first year will be the same, $6,442 for each student. In the second year, it changes, and there's a new factor put in called bifurcation, which we really support. You will have a high school number for voucher at $7,856, and you will have a number K through 8 of $7,120. This comes back when we look back at the audited cost of the program in Milwaukee and Racine. We see a significant higher cost for high school than we do for the lower grades. Now, I don't have data that's broken down by public schools, but I'm sure Pat can attest to the differences between high school and elementary school as far as paying. So we support a program that allocates more dollars to high school because it simply just costs more money to educate a student in high school. So that is how the voucher system works. If you are a parent, you will be able to apply to a school that passes the accreditation and all the other requirements that DPI says you would qualify to get into the program. You would then apply to that school. If through the lottery system they say you are deemed a spot, the state will send a check in escrow, basically bank shot it off of you to the school. And then at the end of the year, the allocated cost and everything else will be put into place. And if the actual cost of education is higher than the voucher amount, that's what the voucher would be. It never goes higher. If the allocated cost and audited cost is lower, it'll be lower. The tuition tax refund that's out there is something that's completely different. That is part of the tax code, not part of education. It basically gives you a deduction for your tuition fees and other things. They're actually very unrelated from an educational standpoint. But back to, I'm sure, the point that Pat will make, that money all comes out of the overall state budget, just like the voucher does. The voucher payment now will be all GPR in the outstate districts. There will be no property tax component, and that is a sum sufficient appropriation that is outside of the education funding. So the tuition tax refund or tax credit and the voucher program don't come out of education dollars, but they do come out of the general pot of money that's spent on every other program in the state.
Pat.
I think that's one of the things, Kathleen. I don't think anyone will believe the statement when cost of living on average goes up about 3% per year. The schools across the state of Wisconsin, where 85% of the children attend, is not paced with cost of living. So every single year, the legislators are building in a structural deficit. The public schools are responsible for transporting all of the children, whether they attend a private school or a public school. The taxpayers within Menominee Falls, because it's considered a high land value community, are offsetting the educational costs of children in Milwaukee, Racine, and all of the lower land value communities across the state of Wisconsin. No one should be misunderstanding that this doesn't affect every taxpayer in the state of Wisconsin and come directly from the funds available to educate children. You can't decrease public school funding by 10%, increase the proposed voucher funding by 9%, and say it has no effect. That's disingenuous.
I want to get back to the quality of the schools for a moment. You talked, Pat, about playing with fire. I have heard in this from a lot of people that the quality of instruction may be somewhat different, that what it takes to teach at a voucher school, the requirements, the subject matter background, et cetera, may be different than in public schools. Can you talk a little bit about that? The other concern I know that people, and I live in Milwaukee, so this voucher program has been around for 20 years. There have been a number of fly-by-night operations in these voucher schools. The schools have come and the schools have gone. There has not been consistency. Some students have gone back to public schools because their schools closed. So a couple questions here. Are you concerned about the quality of these schools? Are they across the board, would you say, pretty good? What about the quality of teaching? What about the how long-lasting they are? And let's start with you, Pat, on that.
I think across the nation, I've been tracking for probably 5 years the private providers that take public funds across the states. There were, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, private providers came in. They decided they were going out of business. They closed their doors, and the children are rolling all back into the public schools by fall. When we're talking about accountability, every school in the state of Wisconsin that is public is mandated to follow program standards as well as performance standards. We're mandated to do a full focus on educator accountability, and that's where the legislature is also talking about pay for performance. There are no required accountability metrics, and there is no required programming responsibility. So as the state is holding the public schools in a locked position when they're underfunding the capacity of the budgets, they're basically determining that anything is fine and parents will hold the buildings accountable. And that isn't the same ability for the public school families across the state of Wisconsin.
What about the fact that since some of these schools have opened and closed and kids have gone back to public schools, the lack of accountability, would you agree there's a problem there, Jim?
I would say that the problem existed much more a decade ago, and some of the same stories are continually rehashed. That's not to say that I think the bigger problem, and one that we are hopefully going to be addressing in the near future, is the gateway to get into the program. In Milwaukee right now, you've got a number of very high-performing schools, St. Marcus, St. Anthony. Hope Christian High School on the near north side just graduated with a 100% free and reduced lunch, 100% African-American. 100% of the graduating class just got accepted into college. I mean, that's one end of the extreme where somebody's doing very well. I mentioned Notre Dame Middle School before. There's a number of high flyers. There are a number of very low-performing schools. I think the key is to make sure that those low-performing schools don't get in. And history has shown that the schools that have existed as private-pay schools for a number of years are ones that perform much better academically, which is why in the expansion, in the motion coming out of finance, there was a requirement that your school had to be operational in May of this year. In other words, it had to have already existed as a private school, a private pay school, in order to be a part of the program. So I think that there are some things we can do around the edges. What I would say, though, is there's two kind of false notions being purported here. One, that funding for the voucher program is somehow eliminating funding for public schools. And on a percentage basis, the budget as passed, less than 5% of all the education dollars spent in the state would go to the voucher program. More than 95% of all the funding is still going to public schools. So we're not talking about equity in payment here, or it's 50-50 or anything like that. It's nothing like that. In fact, the increase in the funding this biennium for public schools is greater than the entire choice program. So you just got to keep things in economies of scale.
All right, let's get a response from Pat and go back to phone calls. Pat?
The piece, Kathleen, that I just want, Jim understands, as do the individuals in the legislature, that over 85% of the children in the state of Wisconsin attend public schools currently. And the funding is not keeping pace with the rate of inflation. And the first year of biennium, it is projected to be less than 1%. So when you're looking at the entire allocation, we have almost 900,000 children in public schools across the state of Wisconsin. There were 24,000 children being served through the program in Milwaukee. It costs $154 million a year to operate it, and it isn't hitting the improvement markers that were set for those programs. It's irresponsible to legislate an expansion across the state in a program model that isn't meeting the requirements for the children it was originally intended for.
All right, we'll take more phone calls in a moment. We have tons of people on the line, and we'll try to get through as many phone calls as we can. Not get through. We want to hear from you, so we'll take many of them, and we have some messages as well. The expansion of the voucher program throughout the state of Wisconsin is what we talk about this hour, and we have two guests with us. Pat Greco is superintendent of schools from Menominee Falls. Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin. 800-486-8655 is our number, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our next caller is Tom in Tomahawk. Hi, Tom.
Well, hello. There's an elephant in the room here. But first, I want to say that private schools don't benefit is nonsense. Ask the directors of those schools whether their schools are benefiting or not. In fact, I urge everybody to look at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's columnist Borzik on his various interviews of these directors and how delighted they were to get this money, particularly as my elephant is with the opportunity to spread their brand of religion. Act 25 indicated that there were several accrediting agencies, several, about 20 of them, that must accredit these schools. Almost all of them are affiliated with particular religious beliefs, like the Lutheran Evangelical Association. I urge people to get a hold of their criteria. They're amazing. They're all biblically oriented. A high school in Racine, a Lutheran high school, is teaching creationism as science. I went to a parochial school. I'm a product of that. My mother was a waitress. My father, a factory worker. They paid for it. They paid for the beliefs they wanted me to have. I resent having to pay tax money to proselytize children into beliefs that I think are inconsistent with mine, but also inconsistent with modern thinking and open thinking about science and social studies and those kinds of things.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. Jim, let's start with you.
Well, this is a topic that comes up whenever this discussion is being had, and there's two really important things to understand. Religious institutions provide services for government across the board. Happens in almost every aspect of life. For instance, if you know anybody on Medicare or Medicaid and they're sick, they're able to walk into, here in Madison, St. Mary's Hospital, a religious-based organization, and receive medical care. If you are on a Pell Grant, you are able to take that Pell Grant to Marquette University. If you're on the GI Bill, you're able to go to Marquette University on the GI Bill. But more importantly, the Supreme Court has ruled that there is no violation of no constitutional violation because it is the parent with which the decision is being made as to where that child is going to school. There is no Establishment Clause issue because it's not the government saying a child must go there. The program is completely voluntary. So when a parent places a child in a private school, there is no Establishment Clause violation because it's the parent that's placing it there. It's not government mandating that it's there. So everybody's entitled to their opinion, but both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court, their opinion, have established that there is no constitutional problem with the program.
Are you worried about this, Pat?
Kathleen, one of the things that I just want to highlight, and there's, as Jim earlier indicated, there are many, the caller was referencing no value. No one is indicating there is no value. We have fine private parochial schools across the state of Wisconsin who do a wonderful job in serving their core mission. I, too, am the product of a K-8 private religious school. It was the value of my parents. I then went to a high school that was publicly funded. What I know as an educator is there are fine institutions available. Constitutionally, we're responsible for educating every child in the state of Wisconsin. These private schools are not available to every child across the state. Taxpayers are offsetting the costs of education across the state for the lower need areas. As we're looking at educating children as a nation and comparing our performance internationally, we have a high level of expectation. Our country values serving every child regardless of disability. These schools will not be available for those children, not available to those families. And as Jim was quoted a week ago at the University Club, he believes that the enrollment caps will come off in the future. This is a policy for the state of Wisconsin that will not serve the taxpayers or the children, and not every child in the state will have access. So we're, again, the public schools in Wisconsin are accountable for the performance of every child and should be. Every child has the right to a strong education. Every child has the right to access to quality of education, this proposal does not meet the need of every child in our state.
Thank you, Tom, for the call. Let's read a couple emails that have come in, and then you can respond to them. Sue Ann sends this. If parents wish to send their children to private schools, that's their prerogative. However, I, as a taxpayer, should not have to pay for their choice. The majority of Wisconsin public schools are fabulous, and we as taxpayers must continue to support and improve public education. Paul from East Troy says the most significant issue related to low student performance is lack of parental involvement. Participation in the voucher system requires significant parental involvement. Therefore, those students who do not participate will inevitably come from family situations that are not conducive to their success, thus perpetuating the continued low performance rate in the public schools. Would you like to respond to either of those? We'll give you the first chance, Jim.
Yeah, I would say the one on the family involvement, that's a great talking point. It's not based on any facts. When you talk to the school leaders in Milwaukee, the parents oftentimes, while they are knowledgeable enough to get students into schools that are either closer to their home or, again, there's many different reasons why parents are placing their students into schools that are in the school choice program in Milwaukee. It doesn't guarantee that they're much more involved to make the point that he's making, which is you'll be creaming the crop and that's what will happen. In fact, in Racine, what you saw in the first year of the program, only the students that transferred from Racine Unified School District into the program took the WKCE, the state test, in the first year. So you had a subset of students within there that what you were doing is testing their attainment level coming out of a public school district, not what was happening in the private school, because it was only a matter of weeks between the time they enrolled and got there. What you saw across the board was that the students that transferred from public school into the choice program were 10.7 points behind in reading and 13.5 points behind in math from the average public school student in Racine. So the students that were looking to leave were actually the ones that were struggling the most in the public schools looking for an alternative. And that's what our school leaders tell us. If you're doing fine in a public school and things are really working out well for you, there's no reason to leave, and the parents don't pull them out of those schools. It's the students that are struggling are the ones that are looking for options in the parental choice program. Racine was a perfect example to show how far behind those students that transferred out of public schools were going into the choice program.
Do you, though, agree with what Pat said earlier, that you said at a gathering in Milwaukee that you would the cap will be lifted?
What I said was this. I was asked this exact question, and I said the legislature over time has reacted to what parents and their constituents are calling for. What I know from talking to parents around the state is that once this program becomes available, individual legislators, representatives, and senators will be hearing from their constituents how much they like the program and want access to the program. Therefore, I was anticipating legislators reacting to that clear show of demand for the program, and their reaction to that will be to increase the caps over time. It's the same thing that happened in Milwaukee. It's what happened in Racine. You saw the program is wildly popular there. Many, many parents are looking for options other than the public schools for a wide variety of reasons. I'm not here to tell you what reason is good or what reason is bad, but we just know that the public demand is there for options in education. And you look at a city just like Madison that will now be here. And a little bit of the problem of this conversation is that we'll talk a little bit about how public schools are required to serve everybody and they're accountable to the people and there couldn't be anything better. But when you have 50% of African-American students in Madison not graduating on time, how is Madison School District accountable?
All right, let's get a response. We're out of time then. Pat.
And Kathleen, one of the things that I have a concern with is private schools across the state have dropped enrollment by 31%, and their private school attendance has struggled. The governor has stated citizens have to stop being dependent on the government for subsidies. That's a direct quote. Legislative Audit Bureau has indicated the Racine Voucher School program has performed worse than the Racine public schools. And families have been asking for funding changes. For the last 10 years, our public school funding formula has been so flawed. They've designed multiple different commissions. Our legislators have not responded to the needs of the underfunding of the public schools.
On that note, we have to say goodbye to both of you. Legislature could be voting on this as early as tomorrow. Let everybody know in Madison what you think about this, and we thank very much Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, for being with us. Pat Greco, superintendent of schools for Menominee Falls. Thanks to KP Whaley and Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour, and thanks everybody for all of your calls. Leave more messages on our Facebook page. We'd like to read them. And that's the Kathleen Dunn Show. Great conversations ahead. We'll be with you tomorrow and talk about the Iranian election, the first hour of our show.